today. Is the RBA really all in for a rate cut in February? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, and that is Post covering finance and property news. Well, after the release of the CPI data this week, there has been a considerable debate going on about whether the RBA will cut in February. In fact, I covered this in a recent show where I spoke about the number wanging that goes on below the waterline and the fact that the CPI number doesn't necessarily say what you think it says, but of course it's more politics than anything else. As a result of this, we've seen all of the banks, now the NAB was the last one, to come out and say, the RBA will cut. There's a cash rate cut in February, most likely because of the fourth quarter CPI, etc., etc. Now, it must be said that not everybody is equally on the same page. Warren Hogan, who has always a more bullish view of where things are going from a rate perspective, suggests that there was less than a 50% chance of the RBA cutting, saying the economic case is not there. He said, we've seen a big improvement in the consumer sentiment last year. The tax cuts have finally got some traction. The jobs growth is showing low retail sales. And the big one is the rise in job vacancies from already high levels. This is all telling us that the economy is actually improving, and that's the reason there's a question mark on whether inflation will get down into the target band and stay there. If you look at what's happened in the US, the fact that they held on cutting rates further suggests that this is correct. Money markets are factoring in a greater than 75% chance of a rate cut. And there was another article here that went into some of the detail as to the pros and cons of a potential rate cut. On the pros side, headline inflation is near a low of 2.4%, which is not far from the target, of course. Underlying inflation was also subdued, as we discussed. And as I mentioned, the NAB, of course, has moved in line with the others, saying they will cut in February. There's other information showing, too, that maybe the new home inflation was dropping considerably, although some of that is discounting. And overall, the annual rate of inflation is well down. More broadly, though, there are other points that need to be thought about. The bank believes the jobless rate of 4.5% is around the level needed to ensure pay rises don't add to inflation. Now, that figure probably looks too high, with, of course, considerable job growth in recent times. And overall, the economy has barely expanded, just 0.8% over the past year. And, of course, in per capita terms, it's contracting considerably. So those are all possible reasons as to why the RBA might consider a cut. On the con side, though, this jobs market is really important to understand. It's still very strong, and an early rate cut could make it even tighter. And that would feed into the RBA's fear of a wage breakout, which would add to inflationary pressures. Another factor, of course, as I touched on in my show, is that the data has been really wedged by considerable government subsidies, including for electricity and rent and more. And it's got to the point where now the underlying is also being crueled by those subsidies. If you were to exclude the subsidies, then effectively the inflation rate would be somewhat higher. Another interesting point of view here is the question of the housing market and whether people can get into the market. And as we'll see in a moment, there's some data just out suggesting that credit growth is still pretty strong. And while a quarter percentage point cut would deliver around $100 a month saving for someone with a $600,000 mortgage, and that money could go back into the economy, and that could potentially bid home prices up again. And then, of course, we have the point of the board's potential change after the next meeting. So all of those are reasons to think about whether, in fact, there is a reason to cut or not. Now, if we look at some broader data, and I think it's important to continue to have this debate, they've got another couple of weeks before they make a decision, and more data will come in. And there was some quite interesting data that's flowed in recent times, which perhaps adds to the debate. The first one here is that the home sales for Australia was relatively benign again, with a 0.9%. And you can see that that is tracking below the trends that we had back in February 2022. So we know that home starts are well down. We know that the number of new home sales are pretty low. Another data point, this time from Roy Morgan, shows that consumer confidence is actually just up a little. And interestingly, across the housing cohorts, confidence among renters and mortgage holders moves sideways over the past 4 weeks, but confidence among outright homeowners continues to move upwards as the four-week moving average lifted to its highest level since the beginning of the rate hike cycle back in May 2022. And that's an interesting observation, and it does suggest that some people are thinking that things are improving. But of course, if you have a big mortgage, then maybe not so much. Interestingly also, that the weekly inflation expectations in the same survey decreased, but it's still sitting at 5%, which is higher than the RBA's target. And I guess that's a bit of an issue if indeed the RBA is thinking that inflation is well anchored. Well, if expectations are higher, that could feed into higher jobs, wages, growth, and that could lead to higher inflation. And then the RBA published their financial aggregates to December 2024. And if you look at the monthly moves, total credit grew by 0.6% in the month. That was the same as November. Housing credit rose by 0.5%, the same as last month. Personal credit took a significant jump up. That, of course, is to do with Christmas. And business credit was also strong at 0.8%. And it's also worth noting that the broad money was a little stronger too. Now, if you look at the annual trends, you can see there that total credit December 2024 at 6.5% growth annualized, compared with 4.8% a year earlier. Housing credit at 5.5% is stronger than the 4.2% a year ago. And personal credit is at 3% compared with 1.9% a year ago. And business credit at 8.9% is stronger than 6.5% a year ago. And broad money, the amount of cash flowing around the economy, is also up. And we can also look at the movements over time, looking at the monthly growth, and you can see that it's relatively strong, with credit for owner-occupiers at 0.4 over the month, for investors 0.6, and also for other personal finance, as well as business credit. And annually, you can also see that the trends are up. So you could argue that credit growth is pretty strong, and that, of course, potentially feeds into more inflation later. So the bottom line is this: the information is conflicting at the moment, but I'm not as convinced as some that we are going to see considerable rate cuts anytime soon. I think the RBA probably will take their time. And of course, there is huge political and economic pressure on them to move quickly ahead of the election. But then they have to also think more broadly about the overall economic outlook. So we'll watch and wait. More data is coming, of course, and we'll be interested to see their decision. But I do think the hype on rate cuts is overdone. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.